my next guest, I'm very excited to talk with. We're pull the truck over because we're going to have a great discussion with the former Secretary of Ag, Mike Johanns. Mike, welcome to the AgNet West Hour. Thank you for joining us.
Nick, it's my pleasure to be with you.
Well, Mike, let's look at Mike, former U.S. Secretary of Ag, the former governor of Nebraska, a former U.S. senator. You would think, you know what, after this great, tremendous career, I would just go back to Nebraska, be a Cornhusker fan, and call it a day. But you continue to work in the ag industry. Mike, tell me, what's the latest? What's going on?
It's a tough time. You know, if I could go to anywhere in the United States and talk about agriculture, and I'd start my comments by saying, hey, I know it's a tough time for you. There are some exceptions. You know, here in Nebraska, we have a very, very strong cow-calf industry, and they're in a good run. You know, prices are strong. In fact, some ranchers have told me in their lifetime, they haven't seen prices this strong. But, you know, you go into the row crops, not very good. I mean, we've seen some strengthening in prices. China's kind of gotten back into the market, so that's boosted prices a little bit. But input costs are high. So, you know, you get it on one end, give it back on the other end. You know, and then with Nick, before we went on the air for this interview, we were talking about the wine industry. I was just in California and talked to wine growers and some wineries. And, well, I tell you, for the growers, it is just a tough time, you know, tearing out vines just simply because there isn't the demand for the product that there once was. And we could debate what that's all about, but very, very difficult time in that industry.
We're talking with Mike Johanns. He's the former Secretary of Ag. And Mike, do you think it's just a cycle we're in right now? You think we'll make a rebound in the wine industry soon?
I think the rebound is there, but I do think there's some things that need to be done. And, you know, when I talk to the wine growers, one of the things I emphasized is, you know, we could make some legislative changes that would improve the situation. You know, mixing foreign wine with domestic wine and tax benefits that go to foreign growers, not U.S. growers. Some of those things could be fixed. Then I think marketing is just a key piece of this. We kind of lost the younger generation when it comes to wine consumption. And I know there's a way that to get back into their favor or to achieve their favor at this point. But I just think we've kind of missed that younger generation. We relied on the baby boomers, and, you know, they're just getting older. Their doctors are saying, you know, take it easy on the drinking. So I think we've gone through a transition here and come up a little bit short.
Mike is spot on to that. We're talking with Mike Johanns, who was the 28th Secretary of the U.S. Department of Ag under George W. Bush. You're absolutely right. The younger people, they follow influencers now. And I have a couple daughters who are huge influencers, and they follow them. I think we need to start looking at what young people want to do in marketing. And I think the older generation has to listen, okay, we're going to have to figure this out, because it is a change in industry. It's not like the old days where you get up and read the newspaper every day. It is a change in times.
It definitely is. And, you know, I was talking to the wine growers about vines literally being pulled up because there's no demand for the product. You know, harvest in wine country this year, there were literally fields where they didn't harvest the grapes because there wasn't any demand for it. There are places where growers were saying, just come and take the grapes. I won't charge anything. Just take them so there'll be some use. And they didn't get any takers on that. So that indicates just how difficult this situation is. And I know there's talk about, well, more grapes have to be, more vines have to be pulled up in the next couple of years to balance supply and demand. That's certainly one approach, but that's painful. That's hurting people. I just think an all-out effort needs to be made to try to improve the legislative situation. But secondly, an effort has to be made to appeal to that younger group of people who are out there and just really haven't discovered wine. And we need to help them do that. And, you know, Nick, we were talking before we went on your program about there's just so many choices. You know, you go into a store and you look across the vast array of possibilities. And I'm sure young people stand there and go, well, what would I pick? You know, do I pick a $10 bottle of wine? Do I pick a $20 bottle of wine? And what's the difference? So I think education, I think promotion, I think all of those things, how do they want to drink their wine? You know, all of that plays into this. But I think some real marketing effort has to be brought to bear here.
So true. We're talking with Mike Johanns, the former Secretary of Ag, the former Nebraska governor. You're absolutely right. And I think I always say we have so many great wine tasters, wine tasting wineries in California. Bring a party. It's a lot of fun to go over there. I think the wineries want to show off their wines, and you can try different ones. And don't be intimidated if you like fruity wines or not. I think this is the best way to do it. Instead, you're right, going to a store, buying a $28 bottle of wine and go, I don't like this, and never drink wine again.
Yeah, you know, I've been in the Napa Valley area in California a number of times throughout my career, and just such a beautiful area, great people, you know, just really salt of the earth people. You know, I think anything we could do to promote, come out here, visit us, spend some time with us, get to know who we are and what we're about, and then have an opportunity to taste the fruit of our labors. And I just think there's just real opportunity. I think it's something that young people would buy into, and it's all part of the education effort. It's all part of the education effort of why wine is just a great item on the table, you know, part of the groceries, if you will.
Mike, you've been to California. You know California farmers, and I'm sure people in Nebraska look at California farmers and go, how do they do it? The most regulated place in the world, but a lot of these farmers don't get paid for being regulated so much. They have to jump through hoops, but they don't get paid for it. And this is where the ag meter gets mad. I think if you're going to make the California farmers do all these different extra regulations, they should be paid for it, but they're not.
Yeah, they're not. And, you know, what I find with California producers, what I find here in Nebraska or across the country, and that is that they're good people. They care about their land. They care about their families. You know, in California, you meet people who are third, fourth generation farmers and growers. And whether it's wine or other crops, they really believe in what they're doing. They're great conservationists. They want to take care of the land. You know, they don't want to sell their land. They want to pass it on to the next generation, just like their dad did with them. So, yeah, and, you know, I can guarantee you, if I sit down with growers in California and we kick off a roundtable discussion, one of the first things that they're going to talk to me about is overregulation, how much tougher it has become to be engaged in agriculture in the state. And, you know, all I can say is, California should celebrate their agricultural heritage and the people that are engaged in agriculture. It's such a huge piece of what that state is all about. And, you know, it's such an enormous ag producer, not just in the United States, but in comparison to other countries in the world. So I just, you know, I love California agriculture. I love the people there. You know, you talk to cattlemen in California, close your eyes, you would think you're talking to cattlemen in Wyoming or Nebraska, Oklahoma, whatever. They're just really, really good people.
Yeah, really are. We just had Rick Roberti on, the president of the California Cattlemen's Association. You're absolutely right. And they just battle with these regulations. And Mike, we're talking with Mike Johanns, the former U.S. Secretary of Ag, the former Nebraska governor. You know farmers are the toughest people in the world from Nebraska to California, because they want to have the next generation take over their farm. And I think they got a bad rap from the environmentalists out there saying farming's horrible for the land. And so the mainstream media just started turning down farming. Well, this show, we're trying to show how important farming is.
You know, and I applaud you for that. You know, I grew up on a farm, North Central Iowa, near a little community called Osage. And, you know, we were the family farm of all family farms. You know, my dad believed in what he was doing. You know, we had dairy, we had hogs, we had chickens, we had cattle. We did it all. We worked hard, you know. Kind of our motto was, if the sun was up, we were working. And it's 7 days a week because we had the dairy. And, you know, for us, it wasn't about how much money you're putting in the bank, although, of course, we need to pay the bills. It was, that's what we were born to do, you know. That's, and I find that all across the country. And, again, I just want to emphasize, farmers and ranchers, they take care of the land. They care about the land. They take care of their animals, their livestock. They're thoughtful about their farming practices. They're always looking for new ways to improve what they're doing. And, you know, one of the things, Nick, that I'm doing a lot of these days is I'm educating farmers and ranchers on the research and development tax credit. I do some work for a company called Alliant based in Houston, and that's what we do. We try to help farmers take full advantage of that credit. So the things that farmers are doing, like improving fertilization practices, improving genetics in their livestock, all of that has been recognized by the tax court in two very important cases that say, yes, absolutely, agriculture qualifies for the research and development tax credit. And the beauty of that, Nick, is that we can help farmers bring dollars back into the operation, which they so desperately need now with prices being challenged and inputs going up. So this is really a significant issue for agriculture, the research and development tax credit. We've done so much good across the country bringing dollars into farming operations.
We're talking with Mike Johanns, the former U.S. Secretary of Ag, the former Nebraska governor, and now he's the chairman of Ag for the Alliance Group. Well, farmers are right now, they're pulling over. They're going, well, okay, Agmeer, how do we get involved with this? Because we're doing a lot of R&D at our farm. How do they get involved, and how do they figure out if they're qualified for this?
Very simple. Reach out to us. Again, it's Alliant Group in Houston. Just Google that. Our website will pop up. Here's what I say over and over to farmers. It's not going to cost you a thing to ask and have us determine whether you qualify for it or not. We don't charge for that. We just do that because we want to get that benefit to every farmer we can. And if it is a case where the farmer doesn't qualify, we'll say that. You know, we don't want to waste their time, but we have found over and over again that farmers do qualify because the things they are doing are science-based, they're discovery-based, they're trying to figure out, how do I improve production, how do I improve cropping practices, how do I improve the genetics in my cattle herd. So you mentioned California cattlemen. I had an opportunity to speak to a California group of cattlemen many years ago, and they were just such great people, but we could do them so much good. So recently I talked to the Nebraska Farm Bureau, but I've talked to ag groups all over the country about the research and development tax credit. So just reach out to us. Just Google Alliant Group, Houston, Texas. That'll put you in touch with us. You can get directly in touch with me, and we'll get somebody with you to determine, do you qualify for the research and development tax credit? Like I said, we've just done a lot of good across the country.
Yeah, you can go online, alliantgroup.com/industry/agriculture, and you can find it out. So any advice for farmers, agribusinesses, livestock, otherwise, when it comes to claiming R&D, what kind of questions should they ask?
You know, what we find is that there are so many tools available for farmers now that document what they're doing. For example, John Deere has a great ops center now. I served on the John Deere board for about 10 years after I left the Senate. And oftentimes the data that is captured there is extremely helpful in qualifying for the research and development tax credit. Ranchers will keep track of records on their herd, you know, on, you know, genetics and feed rations and that sort of thing. We can access those records to help them qualify for the research and development tax credit. But oftentimes what we find, Nick, is that the things that farmers are doing every day, better cropping practices, improving the genetics on their livestock, a different variety of seed, maybe it's a different approach to how that how they're caring for that vine, you know, for our wine growers. But we've worked with wineries too. We've worked in processing. But here's what I always say to people. It's not going to cost you a thing to reach out to us and ask us. We'll get somebody engaged with you. We won't charge you for that initial phase. And we'll answer the question. Yes, you qualify. No, you don't. Like I said, we're not going to waste anybody's time. But we can do a lot of good. So reach out to us. We're here to help.
We're talking with Mike Johanns, the former Secretary of Ag under George W. Bush. He's the former Nebraska governor. This is exciting talking with Mike right now. And now he's the Alliance Group Chairman of Ag. You're right. Because farming, they step up to the plate when they're told, oh, we can't do it. Well, we'll get a better drip system. We'll save money on water. They get irrigation monitoring system, weather forecasts in the field, soil. They take care of it like it's their baby for the next generation to take it over. This is what people don't realize, and hopefully we get the word out on this show, how farmers, we're feeding the world, Mike, and I think sometimes the California politics, they don't understand that. I think they don't give the love to farmers like they should.
Yeah, you know, and here's something I really wanted to mention, Nick. There were two tax court cases. One occurred in 2022. We'll call it the Boswell case. The next one in 2026, we'll call that the George case. The Boswell case involved row crop operations. The George case involved poultry production. Basically, the tax court in both of those cases said, look, the work that farmers and ranchers are doing with livestock production, whether it's poultry or beef, pork, whatever, dairy, or row crops, or it could be wine growers, it could be any crop growing, the work done in those areas does, in fact, qualify for the research and development tax credit. The 2026 case, the George case, was handled by Alliant, and the tax court recognized that the process we were following was absolutely the process necessary to qualify for the research and development tax credit. And the tax court went on further to offer some education, if you will, on the kinds of things that we need to do to make sure that the farmer, in fact, qualifies for the research and development tax credit. So, Nick, with these two tax court cases, we are just so well positioned to help farmers. We've laid to rest this debate that, oh, it doesn't qualify. That research and development tax credit is only for General Electric or General Motors or whatever. It's not the case. It applies to agriculture, too. So just such an important message. So important that we get that word out. So important that farmers connect with us. Like I said, we've done a lot of good out there. We've brought tens of millions of dollars back to the farmer, back to their operation to help them through this rather difficult time in most sectors of agriculture. So it's a real benefit.
You're so spot on. We're talking with Mike Johanns, the former 28th Secretary of U.S. Department of Ag Secretary, which is amazing to me. You're the former Nebraska governor. Now you're the chairman of Ag for the Alliance Group. I'm hoping more political people get the experts and the farms to the political meetings, because they're in the battlefields. Did you do that when you were the governor or the secretary of ag? You go out and you're talking to farmers to find out what's really going on.
Yeah. You know, when I was secretary of agriculture, George W. wanted me to propose a farm bill on behalf of the administration. That almost never is done by the Secretary of Agriculture. But he said, look, I want my ideas in front of Congress. So we went across the United States, and in all 50 states, we did listening sessions. We called them farm bill forums. I did 21 of them myself, where we would go into a farm, or maybe it was a state fair, or maybe it was the biggest ag show in the state. And we'd have, 3-4 hours set aside where I would sit there and just listen. And I would say to producers, this is your show, not mine. I want you to tell me what we're doing right and what we're doing wrong and what kind of farm policy you want to see in the next farm bill. And these things were a hit. We had hundreds of people show up for these, and anybody could come to the microphone. It didn't have to be the president of the local farm organization. Any farmer, any rancher, any stakeholder who wanted to talk to me could step up to the microphone. And here's something else, Nick, that's really important. This is about that next generation. I started every single meeting with a 4-H'er and a member of the FFA. And they started the meeting. So a 4-H member would get up and talk first, or a FFA member, and they'd talk about the young person's perspective. And I'm going to share something with you. One of the most memorable moments was a farm bill listening session. I was running it, and this young man in his blue FFA jacket came to the microphone, and he said, Mr. Secretary, you want to know how to keep young people on the farm? He said, it's simple. You have to have profitability. He said, if there's profitability, we're going to stay home because we love what we're doing. But he said, we got bills to pay too, and we got to take care of our families. So he said, you got to concentrate on how do you make this profitable. And so, Nick, that led me to this next venture in my life. After I left the Senate, I teamed up with a Lion Group, and I said, let's go out there and let's educate farmers and ranchers across the United States about the research and development tax credit, because we can bring dollars to their operation. And so here we are 8 years later, and we've done it. We brought tens of millions of dollars all across the United States to put into the pocket of farmers and ranchers, so they can expand their herd or address needs that they have on the farm and the ranch. So I'll keep doing it as long as I can stand and keep talking, because I really believe that this is part of the piece of the puzzle to help agriculture for the next generation.
Mike, you got me fired up today. We're talking with Mike Johanns, the former U.S. Secretary of Ag, and now, of course, he's the chairman of Ag for Alliant Group, because you mentioned FFA and 4-H, because I push for FFA and 4-H. I think that's the future. We got to educate people how important farming is. And I always say, Mike, if you're in a job interview and across from you is someone from UC FFA on their resume, stop what you're doing and hire them immediately, if not sooner, because they're the greatest people we have growing up. And the young people are just not like they used to be, but FFA people and 4-H are the best. So I appreciate you saying that.
I was a 4-H member many, many years ago, and I was an FFA member. In high school, there were certainly programs that you could go into that were pre-college, and I ended up going to college. But I tell you, I was an FFA. I learned how to weld, and I learned how to take care of books for a farming operation, because that's what I loved, And, you're right. These kids are just something else, whether it's 4-H or FFA. These are the young people that are going to take over the operations in the future, the farming and ranching operations. These are the young people that are going to serve on our city councils and county boards all across the United States. And they're just the best. They are just the best people you could ever meet.
So, Mike, let me put you on the spot. Back in the day when you were in FFA and 4-H, do you remember that teacher that changed your life? Because everyone I ask, oh, I've had that teacher, and they were wonderful, because I want to give them some love as well.
Yeah, Lou Lauterbach was my, of course I'm going to remember that. This guy was something else, you know. He just cared about his kids so much, and you know, he wanted us to learn the basics, what you were going to need to be successful on the farm. It wasn't just about how do you run a straight bead on a weld. It wasn't just about that. It was how do you keep books? So when you went into the banker, you had a good set of books that you could show the banker. It was all of those things and more. And he was just a good guy. You know, he was... What I remember most is, you know, you went into his classroom and you really knew that there was somebody in front of the room that cared about you and wanted you to be successful. So then I'll tell you, too, it was my father. This guy, just a good guy. You know, he went to church on Sunday. He worked hard every day, took care of his family. You know, just a really decent, honorable guy. He never signed a contract, because once he shook hands, his word was his bond. And that's just the way things were. And, you know, I always said I grew up and farmers were my mentors. You know, they were the people I looked up to. Yeah. So to all those young people out there that might be listening to your program, Nick, you know, you're on the right track. You know, agriculture is a noble profession. And just hang in there. There's some highs and lows, that's for sure. But it's a great profession.
Your dad's old school Italian. That's how we used to do it. Shake hands and you got a deal. That's how it is. You know, heart to heart. I love that. We're talking with Mike Johanns, the former 28th Secretary of the U.S. Department of Ag, the former Nebraska governor. Now he's the chairman of Ag for the Alliance Group. Mike, so let's go. Let's talk a little bit about Mike. Because I have a lot of great interviews I do, and I always ask them, God, you sound so good for farming. Have you ever thought about getting into politics? And they all go, well, we're thinking about it. What made you pull the band-aid off and say, you know what, I want to get in there? How did that process happen?
I had an interest in helping families who had a disabled child. And, you know, I'd help them, you know, set up a trust or make sure that they were caring for that child in the future. And I was asked by the county board to serve on a human rights commission, because at that stage in our history, they were bringing citizens out of these residential homes into the community, and they wanted to make sure their human rights were met. And somewhere along the line, somebody said, Mike, you know, the county runs all these programs. You got to run for county commissioner. So I did, and amazingly, I got elected, and that led to Lincoln City Council, Mayor of Lincoln. For Mayor of Lincoln, I became a governor and then Secretary of Agriculture and then the United States Senate. And, you know, nobody plans that. I mean, nobody plans on, you know, a career like that, because there's just so many things that can sidetrack you. But, you know, one thing led to another. And I'd always say to people, if I do a good job at what I'm doing, then the rest of it will take care of itself. And in my case, that's exactly what happened. People said, well, you were a pretty good mayor, I'm going to support you for governor. Or you're a pretty good city council member, so I'm going to support you for mayor. But I encourage people to get involved. Maybe it's your church council. Maybe it's a deacon at your church. Maybe it's a neighborhood association. Maybe you run for office. Maybe you run for county commissioner like I did, or school board. And then you'll find maybe you got a talent for it and people respect what you're doing, and it leads to another thing. So just do what you love and what you believe in, and life will take care of itself.
It's definitely a major commitment. We're talking with Mike Johanns, the former Nebraska governor. Well, we have a huge governor race this year. We have a giant April 1st. We're going to have a giant debate. What would you recommend to some? Because we know California's broken. By the time it's all said and done, we're going to probably have a $100 billion fraud scandal going on in California. We are broken. This place is broken, Mike. What do you recommend us maybe to the governors that are running? Because we have them on the show all the time. What would you tell these people?
You know what I'd tell them? Number one, they've got to get to know agriculture. If they don't have a background in it, you don't have to grow up on a farm like I did to understand agriculture. But get to know agriculture. Get to know California agriculture, because it's a powerful piece of the state's economy. And get to know the people. That's where I would start. And the second thing I would say, just talk straight to people. I used to say to people, I'm just going to tell you things straight, and you may not like it, but I've got to be candid and honest with you. And that's the way I was raised. And, you know, don't try to sugarcoat things. If you've got financial headwinds ahead, and most states do these days, but I know California does, and they're really, really big numbers. You got to talk straight to people about how you're going to reshape the government, how you're going to make it leaner and more responsive to people's needs. And then I just think you've got to go out there and you've got to meet the people. You've got to, you know, we campaigned for over 3 years in the governor's race in Nebraska. And, you know, we just believed that the best campaign was going out and talking to people. And, you know, people rewarded that. So, plus you learn so much about the state. And, you know, I was in all 93 Nebraska counties many, many times through the years. Why? Because I think it's important. I think you got to get out there with the people and listen to them. Sometimes politicians think that they got to be the one all the time giving the speech. Sometimes it's more important to say, I'm not going to give a speech tonight. I'm going to open up the floor and I want you to tell me what's on your mind. And I think that'll go a long way.
Yeah, Mike, California is completely broken, except for the great people we have here and the beautiful weather. Everything else is a complete disaster. From the freight industry, we have a high-speed train that's never going to be completed. It's just money thrown away, homeless, education. We can go on and on about that. But let's talk how we can help some of the farmers here that are listening with the Alliant Group, that you're the chairman of Ag, because can the incentive work during tax season? Because are we talking about 2025, 2026? How does that work?
The One Big Beautiful Bill did some major changes to the research and development tax credit that are so hugely, hugely beneficial. First thing I would mention is that if your revenues are under $31 million, you can go back to previous years and you can amend your returns to claim the credit, even though you didn't do that initially. And if you qualify, then that's money coming back to you in the form of refunds for those amended returns. But there is a deadline to that. It's July 6th of 2026. So I just really urge people to reach out to us as quickly as you can. Because we've already lost one tax year if you're a March filer. And so what I want people to do is reach out, because if we can amend and go back to previous years, that's really a big bonus for farmers and ranchers out there. The second thing I would say is 4 or 5 years ago, they changed the research and development tax credit, where you had to amortize over a period of years to claim that credit over those years. That was not a good system, and Congress and the President Trump realized that in the One Big Beautiful Bill. So now you can expense all of your costs that you incur for research and development. You can expense all of that in the year that it's paid. So that is a huge, huge bonus for agriculture, just an enormous bonus. So that's really important, and it's a huge step forward in terms of the vitality of the research and development tax credit for agriculture, really for all businesses. But here's another thing I would say to farmers. I know, Nick, that there are farmers listening that are saying, you know, Mike, it all sounds good, but I'm not making any money right now. Well, maybe you made money in the three previous years, and we can go back and amend your returns and claim that money comes right back to you, goes into your operation, helps you out during some difficult times. Plus, the research and development tax credit, if you can't claim the full benefits this year or by amending and going back to the open years, you can carry it forward 20 years, Nick. So literally, you can take that credit and offset your taxes for the next 20 years. Now, one last thing, two last things I want to say, and this is really important. The first thing I want to say is that California, for all of its challenges, has a wonderful research and development tax credit. So oftentimes, what we get from the federal government that goes to the farmer, we can almost double that with the California research and development tax credit. It's the best in the country, in my opinion. It's just a really outstanding research and development tax credit at the state level. So we want to definitely take full advantage of that if we can.
I love that. We're talking with Mike Johanns, the former Secretary of Ag. Now he's the Chairman of Agriculture for the Alliance Group. You mentioned, and I was looking back and doing some history on Mike. I went back to some of your Twitters. You were ahead of the game, even back in 2017, 18, 19, thinking automation is coming, drones and everything else. So you saw a future with automation, research and development, and it's here. And I think farmers are trying to get better. I think labor's out of control in California, so you got to be aware of that. What's crazy to me, Mike, is you mentioned John Deere, that we got the Gus, we got the driverless tractor, which is going to be one of the greatest things ever. But California, no, can't use it because Cal OSHA said it's too dangerous. But our kids can go to school driving down the freeway with a driverless car. I sometimes California, you just got to shake your head.
You know, and California is going to have to change. Not only that, but I mean, so many other things. But that is what's happening. That, you know, and I've been at demonstrations where I've seen this tractor and piece of farm equipment going across the field, and it is totally connected to GPS, and it senses anything that's in front of it and stops, so it's entirely safe, and it is what helps the farmer be more efficient and get the work done, because this is a situation where you can run that equipment literally around the clock. I mean, it is just absolutely unbelievable what's happening in agriculture. You know, I love to talk about the farm I grew up on, Nick. I mean, I could talk 2 hours with you about that and how much it meant to me and how much it meant to my life. But you know what? 160 acres, milking 30 cows and farrowing 12 sows and having, you know, 35 head of cattle. That's not the operation of today. It just isn't. If you're going to feed the world, you have to be smarter and more efficient and do the things that really allow you to bring profitability to agriculture, which is exactly what this young man in his blue FFA jacket said to the Secretary of Agriculture a few years ago. He said, "Secretary, if you bring profitability to agriculture, we'll stay on the farm. We love what we're doing." And that's what's happening today. Agriculture is becoming more efficient. It has been headed in that direction for 200 years, actually since the beginning of time. And that is going to continue. And it just is the reality of how we feed this world population.
You're absolutely right. We're talking Mike Johanns, the former Secretary of Ag. You're right, because the FFA, and I tell parents, hey, my kids aren't into farming. Well, there's going to be plenty of jobs in the future because someone's going to have to figure out how to work these drones and automated. You don't have to get your boots dirty. You don't have to go milk cows, but there's going to be plenty of, jobs in the future. So yes, you're absolutely spot on. Well, I have you here because you're a living legend, Mike Johanns, the former Secretary of Ag. We know the Trump administration is with the tariffs. Maybe it's last April they brought it out. I get it. He wants to have an even playing field. What do you think happens in the future with this? Because I think a lot of times, and you know as well as I do, a lot of people took advantage of the United States. What do you see happens with these tariffs?
Well, here's what I would say. President Trump is doing some things that were long overdue. China was becoming very, very difficult, and I probably shouldn't say was becoming. They probably have always been very, very difficult. So his efforts to try to improve that trade relationship, I think, are significant and very, very important. But if President Trump were sitting in front of me today and he asked me, Mike, what do I need to do to make agriculture work for the future? Make it profitable for the future, bring an opportunity for young people to stay home on the farm and the ranch. What would you tell me I have to do? Well, first of all, you do have to have trade relationships. You need to level the playing field and open up markets. Because if we don't sell soybeans to China, I know who will, because I've been there twice in the last 18 months and seen it with my own eyes, Brazil. And they're just getting bigger and more dominating. And they're doing all of the technology things that they need to grow their agriculture sector. So we got to get in the game. And we have to be able to market our products worldwide. Secondly, biofuels. E8, E15 must be done right now. But there isn't any reason why we can't produce biofuels for the aviation industry. It is just critically, critically important. You open up that market, and believe me, it will just turn the United States around in terms of the need to grow the crops here to create biofuels. The other thing is you have to support research. You have to support that technology development that is so essential for agriculture to be successful. That is just enormously important as we think about going forward. Then the other thing I would mention is, you did some great things on the research and development tax credit that are helping agriculture. There are some other things that we might want to do in the future, but right now, stay the course with that. That is helping farmers invest and have a partner in the United States taxpayer to assist them. And then the other thing I would say is keep your farm program strong. California agriculture, which is so big in the area of high-value crops, specialty crops, they need market promotion. They need research and development. They need crop insurance programs. They need assistance in removing old vines that probably have reached the point where they need to be taken out. They need help in the right genetics and the right science. So do those things and you will be forever remembered as the president who turned agriculture in the right direction for the United States. You do those things, you'll never be forgotten in farm country in rural America.
Mike Johanns on fire today. This is beautiful stuff, Mike. And I tell people when it comes to politics, leave your emotions out and just look at the full picture, what's going on. I think the Trump administration, I think he's trying to change the world, and it's going to take time. We see it in Iran. I think next probably would be Cuba. Hopefully Mexico, we get back on board. Canada, we get back on board. You know as well as I do, wouldn't it be great to have a world that, because we have the deficit of, I say it all the time, $29 billion, meaning more food comes in than goes out. And California farmers saying, listen, We have to go. We're doing everything you want with regulations, but we're not getting paid for it. I'm just hoping that someday they get paid for all these different regulations. Is there a way, Mike, you think we can get rid of some of these regulations in California?
Very, very difficult. You know, there is the 10th Amendment and there is states' rights, and states are pretty free to decide what they're going to do with their economy. But here's what I would say. Every state is going to learn their lesson, and some will learn that lesson the hard way. You know, if it becomes too difficult to dairy in California, even though they don't want to, there's dairy farmers who look elsewhere. They have to. Now, if you're a row crop producer or if you're a wine grower, yeah, you know, your land is there in California, you're just going to have to work to try to make your system better. And that's as straight up as I can be, because you can't pick up that land and take it to Nebraska where you might get a better audience for agriculture at the governmental level. So I just really think your state races, your local races are just so critically important. And, you know, you just got to get everybody out and hopefully turn the tide. I will tell you, before Donald Trump came along, I wondered many, many times, are there enough voters out there in rural America, enough voters on the farms and ranches of the United States to elect the president? And that was always a debate. Are there enough people out there in those small towns, et cetera, that can elect a president? Guess what? Donald Trump came along and he proved to us that, yes, there are enough voters out there, but they all got to get out and vote. In every election, you go into county by county analysis and you see that people just didn't get out and vote. Maybe they're worn out. Maybe they're tired. Maybe they think their vote doesn't matter, but it does matter. It just matters so much. And that would be my plea. You just got to get out there and get engaged. And it may not be the most convenient time in your life, but it's so critically important for today, but also for our future.
Well, I believe what 80% of the people vote for voter ID. That's what they think. It's a no-brainer. So hoping that'll be fixed one of these days so we can do this thing fair and square.
Yeah, it's got to be fair and square. We got to believe in our elections, right? We got to believe that we came to the right result and the process was fair. That's just given. That's what democracy is all about. You got to have that belief amongst your citizens that you're doing it straight up.
Well, Mike, before we let you go, we appreciate you taking the time today. You and Bridget, thank you for doing this for us on AgNet West. What would you tell, before we let you go, to the final Alliant groups, what the farmers need to do heading into the summer?
Reach out to us. We know you're getting close to planting season and all of that. It's the busiest time of the year, that harvest. But please reach out to us. You know how to get in touch with us. Just reach out, Alliant Group. You can get to our website in our ag section. Reach out and say, I heard Mike on this program, and I'd like to know if I qualify for the research and development tax credit. We will respond immediately. We will get somebody with you. It will be a real live human being, not AI. And we will sit down and we'll tell you whether you qualify or don't qualify. And I believe we're going to do you a lot of good. So put that on your priority list right at the top. And I look forward to working with all those great people in agriculture in California.
AlliantGroup.com/industry/agriculture. Yes, Mike, thank you so much today. We got to do this again. Keep us updated on what's happening out there because you are a good guy and we really appreciate it. Mike Johans, thank you so much.
Nick, thank you. Don't be a stranger. I hope to talk soon.
Of course, you're going to be my regular now. You're on the Ag Meter team. I love that. Mike Johans, the former Secretary of U.S. Department of Ag, the former Nebraska governor, and now he's the chairman of Ag and Alliance Group. Thank you so much.
You bet. You have a great day, Nick.